I think the biggest thing would be, it's kind of tied together, like a proactiveness and transparency with your data and information. So it's you if you're just starting out, no doubt you'll be collecting some sort of data on players, and someone will want kind of feedback on it somewhere along the line.
Hello and welcome to the High Performance Podcast for AFL staff and athletes, sponsored by Prepare Like a Pro. Make sure, if you haven't already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I host a live monthly episode Q&A for Australian rules footballers and another one for strength and conditioning coaches. I hope you enjoy this interview. Please share with a friend or a teammate that you think will value this episode. Along the way, have you had some strong influences or mentors, if you like, that have helped you along your journey?
Yeah, definitely. I think early days PhD-wise, definitely Tim, my PhD supervisor, was amazing in that space. Since then, I think my career has pivoted a little bit more into kind of a data science path. So I've gone back post-PhD to do kind of post-grad work in the data science space, just to upskill kind of in that area. So probably seeing some people in that space has been really cool. So guys kind of outside of sport who no one here would know, I think is really cool, because I guess in sport we think that we're data rich and we think that we're advanced with data, but when you look in some other industries, we're actually quite poor and we're actually a long way behind and what some other industries are kind of doing.
What other, like, I guess, courses outside of your degrees are helpful? You mentioned learning and leaning off other practitioners or other scientists. Outside of the sport of industry, but are there any courses that you'd recommend, either online courses or books or documentaries?
It's funny, in the data space there's a lot. So I did a postgrad degree through JCU purely because I kind of wanted to just formalize that whole process and kind of do it all. But outside of that, I definitely think YouTube is an amazing resource. I think there's lots and lots of good stuff out there to watch, and people will go through big data and code projects and will kind of talk through what they're doing. I think that's really good for me. I like to learn by kind of seeing something done and seeing someone work through it, and then I'll kind of go and apply it. So I think YouTube was really good for that. And then I guess to supplement that, there's another website called Kaggle, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but it's mainly a US-based data site. But they do, they've got lots of freely or publicly available data sets on there.
And for a sports scientist listening in early on in their development phase, what would you feel are some non-negotiables to be equipped with when you're about to take on an internship at an AFL club, or not even an internship, but there's a goal there that you want to be able to make an impact at an AFL club one day? What would you think would be some skills?
I think the biggest thing would be, it's kind of tied together, like a proactiveness and transparency with your data and information. So it's if you're just starting out, no doubt you'll be collecting some sort of data on players, and someone will want kind of feedback on it somewhere along the line. Being, I guess, proactive to collect good data, so whatever that looks like for you, whether that means that if you haven't used the system before, whether that means you going out and doing a trial run and making sure that you can collect the data well. So when it comes to your actual data collection, that runs well, because we need to collect good data at the source. Otherwise, it doesn't really mean anything anyway. So that might be one example of what being proactive looks like.
On a different note, if you were to, let's say, a new AFL team, the Tasmania team, and you've been handed the sports science program, you got an endless budget, but also the football department, for whatever reason, is endless too. So what would be the optimal sports science department in terms of, you're the head, and then some assistants that are helping you, how many and who, and what roles, I guess, would they sort of take on? And what equipment would you want to have?
Yeah, good question. I think that I would probably want to monitor training. I probably would be rolling with pretty much just a GPS and heart rate setup. I would be pretty comfortable to run the field program based off that, which would be cool. Gym-wise, I'd be obviously interested in Team Builder and probably Gym Aware would be the main ones from a gym point of view.
How would you go about building a sports scientist, building their visualization and presenting sort of skills for athletes or other practitioners, coaches?
I think first thing is work with your stakeholders, which if you're a sporting team, might be a physio, might be an S&C. So I think having a discussion with them before you go and build anything. So obviously store your data well, but then have a conversation with someone to say, oh, like what do you want to see? Like what in a perfect world, how are you managing? Like what, like, I don't know, let's say when we're looking at someone's bench press, say, and we're tracking them over time because we might want to see some changes, then it might be a conversation around, okay, like how would you look at that? Like, do you want to look at a session by session basis? Are you happy to take, do you want their total volume for a week? Do you want their max for a week? Do you want their number of reps for a week? Kind of try and be as precise, I think might be the word. Try and be as in detailed as you can be.
If you enjoyed this episode and want even more, our academy is for you. The Prepare Like a Pro Academy is a platform that hosts exclusive features and bonus content, such as a Q&A segment aimed at getting to know the guests on a more personal level. Here's an example with Emily Meehan, head sports dietitian at Collingwood Football Club.
What are things that fire you up?
Oh, this one is always, I suppose it is, it'll be topical for most people, I think, but staying in your lane. And I often find that with nutrition, everyone eats, so everyone has an opinion. And I think that's what really gets me fired up, because so many people try and provide nutrition advice based on their N of one experience when they did intermittent fasting or keto or whatever it might be. And then
game changes,
game changes, whatever that might be. And look, it probably keeps me in a job, but that it does drive me insane. Because sometimes the information can be so detrimental and opposite to what I've been working with my athlete or athletes, and you know, and because they hear it on someone's socials or through a documentary, it unravels everything that I've been working with an athlete for.
Yeah.
Another feature of our academy is the opportunity each week to join myself as co-host on the Prepare Like a Pro live chat show. Here's an example with Academy member Rama Davies, the strength and conditioning coach at the Box Hill Hawks.
Welcome, Rama, to the chat. Rama has also worked at Box Hill, or currently he's working at Box Hill Hawks with us, awesome. So he's another Box Hill man in the strength and conditioning department. So I'll handle it over to you, Rama, to ask your question, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Thanks, Jack. And thanks, Sam, for the chat. It was I found it to be really insightful, plenty of gems in there. And I enjoyed it a lot. Mate, my question to you was, you spoke quite a bit about perspective during that chat. And I was wondering, what are some of the things that you either know or do physically that you wish you either knew or did back at the beginning of your career? What are some of those things?
Yeah, good question. So I suppose with perspective on life, that sort of point, it certainly has been massive for me now, and didn't probably have that as much when I was younger. I suppose one thing I might mention is gratitude. I spend a lot of my time doing a lot of gratitude exercises, listening to podcasts, doing a journal every day, just a bit to say what I'm grateful for, sort of three things. And that's a fantastic way that I've been able to, reset and just kind of gain that gratitude and perspective about, you know, that there is more to life than football, or, you know, might be whatever, as an S&C coach, you know, if something's, if you're having a hard time, it can be massive with just, opening your eyes a little bit and losing that sort of tunnel vision or being stuck in that work bubble. So that's been huge. I think I wish back then when I was younger, I asked more questions and was a bit more open to different things. I think I was a bit single-minded back then, and thought there was one way of doing things, and if I kind of didn't have that fear of, you know, asking a silly question or fear of judgment, it would have got me a lot further and I probably would have learned a lot quicker. Being open to sort of different things, because you never know what you might find. It's just, there's so many people, like great people out there, knowledgeable people to learn off.
And there's plenty more where that came from. If you would like to learn more, then enter patreon.com/preparelikeapro or head to the link in our show notes. Thank you for listening to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. If you like this episode, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, give a review, or even share with your mates. The show is recorded in Melbourne, Australia. Be sure to follow our Instagram page for all updates on our latest and greatest. If you would like to get in touch to suggest a guest or advertise with the Prepare Like a Pro podcast, please email me at jack@preparelikeapro.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.